Thank you. Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 1. Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah, and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened, when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, that the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And then she spoke. She spoke out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord." So far the reading. Please be seated. So what do you think? Did those two women have something to talk about? Never was there a visit like the one described that took place here between two women. In the paragraphs leading up to this point in the story, St. Luke had provided the account of how these women, Elizabeth and Mary, found themselves to be with child. And in each case, it was a very remarkable development. In the case of Elizabeth, it was remarkable because she was elderly. She was well beyond that point in her life when she could expect to conceive and bear a child. Furthermore, she had been barren throughout her life, unable to conceive and give birth. In Mary's case, it was remarkable because she was a virgin. She had never had relations with any man. Luke informs us that the two women were related. We don't know exactly how close the relatedness was, some degree of the category of cousin in all likelihood. The disparity in their ages suggests that they were probably not first cousins. Elizabeth was elderly. Mary, in all likelihood, was a teenager. Maybe they were cousins a generation removed. The revelation from God that they were to give birth came through the agency of an angel of God, the angel Gabriel. Elizabeth's husband, Zacharias, the priest, had received the message from Gabriel as he was going about his duties in the temple. The priestly duty assigned to Zacharias that particular day was to place the incense on the altar of incense, which stood in the holy place, near the curtain which separated the holy place from the most holy place. The angel appeared to Zacharias at the altar of incense, and Zacharias' initial response was terror. But Gabriel put his mind at ease and informed him that he and his wife Elizabeth were about to become the parents of a special son, whose God-given work was to be the forerunner of the Savior. His work was to go before the Christ in the spirit and power of the great prophet Elijah to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Zacharias doubted the word of the Lord, and by the powerful word of the angel, he was rendered unable to speak until the day of the birth of his son John. But the promise was powerful in spite of Zacharias' doubt. His wife conceived as the angel had said she would. The same angel brought an even greater message to the young virgin who lived at the town of Nazareth in Galilee, a young woman whose name was Mary, a descendant of David, betrothed to a man named Joseph, who was also a descendant of King David. She too would conceive and give birth. Her offspring would be the Son of God, and the Lord God would give him the throne of his father David. He would rule over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there would be no end. How could this biological impossibility become reality? Nothing is impossible where the power of God comes to bear, and he exercises that power through his word. The elderly, barren woman and her husband conceived a child according to the word of the Lord. The virgin teenager conceived according to the word of the Lord. Now Mary just had to go and visit her cousin Elizabeth. This is all quite understandable, isn't it, from a human perspective? Luke says she went with haste. She traveled from her home in Nazareth of Galilee in the north to the hill country of Judah in the south, anticipating the very same journey that she would make 9 months later. The two women had things to talk about. And when the greeting of Mary struck the ears of her cousin, the baby John, in the sixth month of his gestation, leaped in the womb of his mother. 30 years later, the two men would meet again, and John would make his famous declaration, "Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world." And already here as a babe in the womb, John anticipates his role in his relationship to Jesus. John's mother Elizabeth was moved here by the Holy Spirit to make a marvelous confession of faith. She confessed that as remarkable as her own conception and anticipated birth of her son John were, she stood in the presence of the unique provision of God for the redemption of mankind. Never had a woman conceived in the manner of Mary's conception by the word and power of God. Never had a child been conceived who brought together the natures of God and man as Mary's child did. Mary's child would be called the Son of the Highest, the Son of God, and yet he was born of a human mother. Mary was the unique Theotokos, the one who gives birth to the one who is God. The focus of the story is on this greatest of miracles, the miracle of the incarnation of the Son of God in the person of Jesus. God has taken to himself our human flesh in the person of that child who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. This miracle was and is the divine answer to the problem of the alienation of mankind from God. It is simultaneously a rejection and an affirmation. It is the rejection of all human efforts to bring about the redemption of mankind. No powers reside in the intellect, in the emotions, or in the will of man that could accomplish anything against the stark and cold reality of the wages of sin, which is death. But the miracle of the incarnation is also the affirmation of the grace of God as the solution to the problem of sin and death. It is, as John would testify, in Jesus we behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The grace of God which brings salvation appears in him who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people. Elizabeth pronounced Mary to be blessed in her faith. "Blessed is she who believed," Elizabeth said, "for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord." Now these things were written that you may believe that this Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. This is the will of God for you. Blessed are you, for there will be a fulfillment of these things. Amen. Let us all pray. Please rise. Mercifully hear, O Lord, the prayers of your people, that as they rejoice in the advent of your only begotten Son according to the flesh, so when he comes a second time in his majesty, they may receive the reward of eternal life through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen. The Almighty and Merciful Lord, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, bless and preserve you. Go in peace.